And welcome to Saints and Sinners, your host Ken Johnston and my good friend Father Douglas Michael McKay. Hello, Father.
Hello, Ken, and hello everyone listening to us.
I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for whatever time you can spend with us in the next 2 hours. Father McKay and I will be here with Saints and Sinners for the next hour or so, and then in the 5 o'clock hour, two different guests will be talking about two different books and two different topics. You'll want to stay tuned for that as well. We want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners. Thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, both your financial and prayerful support that's kept us on the air for over 40 years now. Especially in these economic times, we thank you for all that you do financially and ask that you continue to do what you can. And if you can bump it up a little bit, that'd be great. One of the ways you can help us out is at our golf outing next Tuesday, October the 17th. That's only 6 days away now. We'll be out at Tallamore Country Club, where we'll have lunch and dinner with golf in between. It's not too late to register to play golf. You can download all the information at our website at inhissign.com. Go to the homepage and scroll to the bottom. There's a link there to download the brochure with all the relative information. If you have any questions, you can get in touch with Maureen here at 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906, but please wait till tomorrow. I ask you to keep Maureen in prayer. She was under the weather when I arrived here today and was heading for home, so hopefully she feels better real soon. Father McKay and I are part of Warehouse Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anyone else that comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at our website, ourhouseministries.org. We don't often mention it, but one of the things you can do through the website is sponsor this hour. If you go to the donate page, you'll see an option there to cover this hour, and know that we'll be very grateful for your donation, and you will be remembered in our prayers and at our masses. Father and I are also available to come out and speak at your parish or other group. Get in touch with us through the Our House Ministries website or through Maureen here at In His Sign. Our shrine to the Venerable Matt Talbot is open on Tuesdays and Thursdays in St. Gabriel's Church at the corner of 29th and Dickinson in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia. We invite you to come down between 9 and 5. Visit the shrine. Visit the Cathedral of South Philadelphia, St. Gabriel's Church. And if you get in touch with us before you come down, we can make arrangements to meet you over in church. One other announcement, tomorrow night, Thursday evening, it's the second Thursday of the month, and out at the St. Joseph's in the Hills Retreat House in Malvern, we'll have our third meeting of the Militia Immaculata Village. Brian Gale and a number of others, including Father McKay here, got this village up and running. We meet on the second Thursday of the month now. We begin at 7 o'clock with a rosary. Read some of the writings of Maximilian Kolbe, St. Maximilian Kolbe being the founder of the Militia Immaculata, or the Knights of the Immaculata. And then we'll have Mass offered by Father McKay at 8 p.m. We wrap up by 9 o'clock. All are more than welcome to join us, even if you're not a member of the Militia Immaculata. There is a consecration we do each month that'll make you a knight if you want to become one. So by all means, think about coming out and joining us. We've had between 25 and 35 people the last couple of months. Anything else, Father?
Yeah, I was just thinking that the Mass will be at the, it's no longer called the Lower McShane. It's called now the Blessed Carlo Acutis Shrine. And so that's where we'll have our meeting and our Mass and adoration, our rosary, on the feast day of Blessed Carlo Acutis. So that, you know, that should be good, Ken. You know,
yeah.
We have all the exhibits there, all the Eucharistic miracles, and there on his feast day. So it should be special graces for all of us who attend.
Very good. All right, let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
And the following is the prayer for the canonization of Matt Talbot. Lord, in your servant Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence for the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, Make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you.
Our Lady of Recovery and St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
Venerable Matt Talbot and St. Maximilian Kolbe.
Pray for us.
And St. John the 23rd.
Pray for
and
us.
Also Our Lady of the Rosary.
Pray for us.
Pray for us. And Blessed Carlo Acutis.
Pray for us.
Pray for us. May the divine assistance remain always with us.
And may the souls of the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. I was just having an afterthought there, Ken. Maybe talk to Brian Gale and then see Mary B. We can get the relics of Carlo Acutis on his feast day and also give a blessing of his first-class relic for those who come.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Very good. This is a one-hour call-in show. Anybody can call in and join in the conversation. The number is 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. Or if you're listening from a distance, you can reach us at 888-34-FAITH. That's 888-343-2484. Especially want your calls when we go to the bottom of the hour. When we come back from the break, we'll have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment. And if God's touched you in a particular way and you'd like to be a witness to our listeners, we'd love to have you call. Again, we'll give out the numbers later in this segment before we go to the break and ask you to call in then. We are currently in the 27th week in Ordinary Time, and we got a handful of saints in the liturgical calendar this week. On Monday, October the 9th, we celebrated St. Denis and Companions, who were martyrs, as well as St. John Leonardi, a priest. Today, Wednesday the 11th, St. Pope John the 23rd. Father mentioned tomorrow the 12th, we'll celebrate Blessed Carlo Acutis. And on Saturday the 14th, St. Callistus the 1st, Pope and Martyr. So as we normally do, and there's a saint of the day, that's who we will start with, and that would be St. John the 23rd. He had a great impact on the 20th century as Pope, but avoided the limelight as much as he could. He was born to a farming family in Sato il Monte near Bergamo in northern Italy, and he was born as Angelo Giuseppe Roncalli. He was always proud of his down-to-earth roots, and while he was in the seminary, he joined the secular Franciscan order. He was ordained in 1904, and he returned to Rome for canon law studies. And then he would work as a bishop's secretary, church history teacher in the seminary, and he was a publisher of the diocesan paper. During World War I, he was a stretcher bearer for the Italian army, so he had firsthand knowledge of war. And in 1921, Father Roncalli was made national director in Italy of the Society for the Propagation of the Faith, and he also found time to teach patristics at a seminary in Rome. Following that, in 1925 he became a papal diplomat. He would start out in Bulgaria and then would serve in Turkey and finally in France during World War II. He would become acquainted with the Orthodox leaders of the Orthodox Church leaders, and then with the help of Germany's ambassador to Turkey, Archbishop Roncalli estimated to have saved 24,000 Jewish people. He was named cardinal and appointed Patriarch of Venice in 1953, where he was finally a residential bishop. A month short of being turning 78, Cardinal Roncalli was elected pope and took the name John after his father and the two patrons of Rome's cathedral, St. John Lateran. Pope John took his work seriously, but not himself. He would be known for his wit. And then he would begin meeting with political and religious leaders from around the world. And apparently in 1962, he was involved in helping to resolve the Cuban Missile Crisis. He did write a couple of encyclicals, Mother and Teacher in 1961 and Peace on Earth in 1963. He enlarged the College of Cardinals, so it was more international. And then he's probably best known for calling for the Second Vatican Council, in which he tried to not necessarily modernize the church, but develop more deeply the message of mercy in our Catholic Church. On his deathbed, he said, "It is not that the gospel has changed, it is that we have begun to understand it better. Those who have lived as long as I have were enabled to compare different cultures and traditions and know that the moment has come to discern the signs of the times, to seize the opportunity, and to look far ahead." He would die on June the 3rd, 1963. St. John Paul II beatified him in 2000, and Pope Francis canonized him in 2014. Pope St. John the 23rd, whose feast day we celebrate today.
People may be wondering why we don't celebrate his feast day on June 3rd, and we do it today because this would be the opening of the Vatican Council today. You know, Ken, one of my favorite movies is the movie about his life. Ed Asner plays him, and it shows his life from a little boy, how poor he was, you know, coming from a family of farmers, couldn't even afford to get in the seminary, and his uncle paid his way. And just showing that that route, that way, all the way up to the papacy, and seeing the grace of God, divinely orchestrated, honor God, these turning points in his life, all the way up to becoming pope. He never asked for anything. In fact, he was elected pope because they couldn't find someone. They figure he's elderly, he'll be a transitional pope, we'll put him in. Of course, we know the story. He opens up the windows of the church and begins the Council of Vatican II. But one of the things that, you know, I shared this today when I was young. I think I was older than five. I had to be around 9 years old. But anyway, he was elected pope in 1958, and I was born in 51. But it was right around that time, like, he knew he was sickly. His time was coming, and I remember that story in the Daily News. It's so vivid in my mind, where my grandmother's there in the Daily News. John the 23rd is saying, "My bags are packed and I'm ready to go." That never left me. My bags are packed, I'm ready to go. And all I could see was, like, he's getting aboard a train and he's going somewhere. Grandma, where's he going? Where he's going? And later on, of course, I would realize that his bags are packed, that he's ready to go, to get on that train to heaven. You know, that you know, it made me think of there's a train coming. Some years ago, I used to wake up with the radio alarm, and the announcer said, "I kid you not, I'm as serious as a heart attack. So people get ready to board that train." And then, of course, from Curtis Mayfield, he would put on the record, "A train is coming." And these are some of the lyrics. "You need no ticket, just faith. Thank you, Lord. The train is picking up passengers from coast to coast. People get ready. There's a train coming. You need no baggage. Get aboard. You need only faith and just thank you, Lord." And I guess the reason why I'm sharing that is because that train is coming. And there's so much, you know, fear in our hearts about everything that's happening in the world, all the wars, all the earthquakes, the sicknesses, the plagues. And I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. And I just think, you know, we have this precious moment right now. Just be ready now and cast all our cares on the Lord, because he'll take care of everything. Everything will work out. Everything's on schedule as planned from above. Whatever bad happens, the good Lord always brings a greater good. But John the 23rd, you know, he would always impress me as a seminarian, because he writes that journal of his soul, and he writes about his seminary days, and he writes about all the different retreats that he would be on, and all the times he would want to repent. You know, he was conscious of his diet. He would cut down his food. He would struggle with that. And I remember him saying, too, that I would only drink one glass of wine. I don't think I can remember ever drinking one glass of wine. I could never stop after one glass. But he was conscious of all the different appetites, and he worked on them. But the whole thing, his spiritual rule of life, that when you read the Journal of a Soul, what keeps coming up is the holy sacrifice of the Mass, his visits to the Blessed Sacrament, his rosary, his breviary. He was really big on his breviary, you know, the liturgy of the hours, confession, you know, all these means that we have, that he had, that made him a saint. We have these same means, you know, the whole thing, the same church, the same saints. He was always talking about the saints, but boy, how he loved his holy rosary, Ken, that rosary that he would always walk with it and pray it. And he talked about it. In fact, in the Journal of a Soul, there's a whole chapter on the Holy Rosary, which is an apostolic letter, not only to the bishops, but to the whole world. And he speaks about the rosary as being a contemplative rosary. And he speaks about three elements, about a pious rosary and also intentions, you know, to pray the rosary for others. And that pious thoughts and reflection would touch our hearts and lead us more deeply into that point where we just meet God one-on-one and that we're alone with God, and all the means lead us to that contemplation. But what I get out of him the most is, you know, he was joyful and happy, and that movie was just so powerful for me, how he had to go through so much, as you mentioned, you know, the wars and the different problems and struggles that he would have. And yet, how he just would open up the council and let in the fresh air. But anyway, John the 23rd, a great pope, the good pope John. He shows us how to become holy. You know, the same means he did it, we can do it with the Holy Mass, visits to the Blessed Sacrament, the Holy Rosary, the Breviary, Scriptures, the lives of the saints. Holding on to that most holy rosary, which he even said this in about the rosary. He said, number one, you know, for it's the sacraments and the liturgy. And after the sacraments, you know, the Mass, the sacraments, the visit to the Blessed Sacrament, the breviary, the liturgy, comes the most holy rosary. And I love that title, most holy rosary. That title doesn't come to too many things, you know. It comes to the most holy Trinity, the most blessed sacrament, but the most holy rosary, as John Paul II wrote about. But yes, we got the same means that all the saints have. And the only tragedy in life is not to become a saint and blame no one but ourselves, because all we have to do is to marry the Word of God, listen to the Word of God, act on the Word of God. And in the Word of God is, take this and eat it. And drink this. Do this. It's a commandment. It's so vital for our souls. The Holy Mass, visit to the Blessed Sacrament, adoration, the Scriptures, the breviary, the most holy rosary, Ken, to become saints.
Amen. And it's great to be on the journey with other people that are doing that and leading by example. And you know, I'd share with you, and actually ended up getting shared with over 1,000 people last week, I think, the article I wrote on Holy Communions. And for our listeners, I've kind of resurrected my personal website at notsaintsyet.org, notsaintsyet.org. Kind of came out of a conversation with Kathleen McCarthy's son-in-law, Mark Houck, some 10 years ago, and finally acting on it. But, you know, these things that we talk about, these devotions and what have you, oftentimes it's like anything else when we're learning. It's sometimes easier if somebody's that already has that experience shares us with us. You know, we find that in our Calyx meetings, and you know, we have people anywhere along the spiritual journey from very beginning to, you know, those that have been daily communicants for a number of years and everything in between. And, you know, it's always interesting to watch people that pick up on some of the devotions. And, you know, we have quite a few people now that show up for daily Mass at our Matt Talbot Chapel down at Our House Ministries. If you go to the Our House Ministries website, there's a page called Schedule. And they'll let you know when we're having Mass. You're more than welcome to come down and join us. Father is going on vacation beginning next Monday for a couple of weeks. So We'll remind you when he gets back, because we probably won't be having the daily activities while he's gone. We'll continue to have Calix on Tuesday night. But anyway, you know, the point being is it's great to have people around that are further along in the journey than we are to show us the way. And, you know, I talk about that in that article about making more Holy Communions or having more Holy Communions, these gatherings or meetings, and when we get together with spiritual friends. And anytime we do, it's another Holy Communion. And that in the beginning, it was people that were further along in the spiritual life than I was that showed me, especially the men that were on that first retreat that I made. And, you know, you only learn about what the church has to offer and maybe how to make adoration more beneficial, or proper ways to go to confession, or how to become more involved in the Mass, not by activity, but just our own mindset in preparing for Mass and things that we can do during the Mass. And stay tuned for a coming book that I'm writing on that includes a whole section on that. But anyway, when we have these spiritual friends, it really helps us to grow in the spiritual life. And if you're one of the ones that are further advanced, you know, to share that with other people, whether it's kids or grandkids, friends, we can help bring each other along on that road to sanctity. And that's what's needed today, I think, more than ever. So many people are trying to fight the good fight and not sure how to do it, not sure where to turn. It all begins with the sacrifice of the Mass. And, you know, if you go, especially if you make weekday Mass, it's a great place to make spiritual friends. Just say hi, ask somebody how they're doing. You see them there a few times. You can get into conversations outside the church, not inside the church, I hope. And, you know, find out what makes other people tick. And maybe their witness will help you, and your witness will help them. And I think it's something, especially as Catholics, that we need to do a better job of, is to witness to one another what God has done in our life. And I think if we did that, there'd be far more people in the pews, and you know, less people that would leave because they find some excuse because the church isn't giving them what they perceive it should be, or something along those lines.
Mm-hmm. There's one other thing I forgot about St. John the 23rd. He would always add a siesta, Ken. You know, your siesta, probably around 3 o'clock. He called it a short one. I don't know how long it was, but he said, after my siesta, I would do the Vespers. So he took a siesta every day, and I try to do it every day. You know, I call it my daily devotion, Our Lady of the Pillow, and St. Mattress. But that's where I hold my rosary, and you just come to this twilight. You know, you're aware, you're not exactly drifted off so long, but this peace just floods in, and serenity comes, calmness comes. You're just centered, just holding the rosary and praying the Hail Marys, and just leading into the meditation, and then also into the contemplation, like just resting in the Father's arms. But that always struck me, too, that, you know, the siesta. And, of course, you know, in Europe, the siesta was always a big time. They even would close down the restaurants and work areas. They would have their main meal at 12 o'clock, and then they would have their nap, their little siesta. I think we would do better here if we took time out as a siesta to make it, spiritualize it, a spiritual siesta with God. And John 23rd had a siesta every day.
Great idea. Great idea. I never
Our Lady of the Pillow and St. Mattress.
Yeah, I never understood it when I was younger. I'd watch my grandfather when he would take his siesta. And I was always like, how can you just knock off for 15 or 20 minutes? And he'd wake up, he'd be all rejuvenated.
Yeah.
And now at 62 years old, I completely understand it.
Yeah. I used to see my grandmother. She'd be like napping, you know, on her comfort chair there. I said, Grandma, what are you doing? She said, I'm resting my eyes.
Amen.
I'm resting my eyes. Yeah. So I not only rest my eyes, I rest my soul in eternal rest with God himself.
Very good.
The spiritual siesta. Make it holy every day. Not too long. Just be rejuvenated, refreshed in the Lord, rested in the Lord. Now we're ready to go again for His honor and glory, salvation of souls, and our own sanctification.
All right. We're just about halfway through. I'll give out the phone numbers again, especially if you have a Is That Odd or Is That God moment you care to share with us. The numbers are 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. Or if you're listening from a distance, perhaps over our website at inhissign.com, you can reach us toll-free at 888-34-FAITH, 888-343-2484. Any final words, Father, before we go to take a break?
No, I think I'm okay.
All right. We'll go a couple minutes early and ring us up. Let us know what God's done in your life. We'll be right back.
Yeah. I miss a lot of those callers, Ken. We kind of lost them. And maybe can you just call, let us know you're still listening, and just say hello.
Amen.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio on WTMR 800, Camden, Philadelphia. You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners, your host Ken Johnston and Father Douglas McKay. We do have a couple of callers on the line, but before we go there, just a reminder about our Calyx Society, a great organization for Catholics and 12-step programs, where our motto is, "We substitute the cup that sanctifies it for the cup that stupefies." Father and I get together with a growing crowd every Tuesday in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia in our Matt Tappet Chapel at the corner of 29th and Dickinson, where we begin at 6 o'clock p.m. with a short adoration period followed by Mass and then our Calyx meeting at 7 o'clock. On the third Tuesday of the month, we go over to St. Gabriel's Church, and we have a Matt Talbot Holy Hour from 6 to 7, which includes confessions and novena prayers to Matt Talbot, and then Mass at 7 o'clock. The third Tuesday will be next Tuesday, October the 17th. All are more than welcome to come and join us. Father McKay will be on vacation, but Father Michael Shea, the Vincentian priest from the Basilica Shrine of the Miraculous Medal, will be on hand to offer Mass for us. The unit at Queen of the Universe in Levittown meets on the first and third Thursday of the month at 7 o'clock p.m. in the Parish Center. Their next meeting will be on Thursday, October the 19th. The unit at Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Media meets on the second Saturday of the month. They go to the 5 o'clock Vigil Mass with a Calyx meeting after. They'll meet this Saturday, October the 14th. The Glenside unit at my home parish of St. Luke the Evangelist meets on the third Saturday of the month. We join the parish for 8:30 a.m. Mass, followed by a Calyx meeting. And the meeting in October will be on October the 21st. And the unit at St. Francis of Assisi in Springfield meets on the last Saturday of the month, beginning with the 4 o'clock Vigil Mass, followed by a Calyx meeting. And they will meet on Saturday, October the 28th. In nearby Wilmington, Delaware, we have a Calyx unit that meets at St. Matthew's every Wednesday for 6:15 p.m. Mass, followed by a Calyx meeting. In the 5 o'clock hour, we're going to have two different guests, one at 5 o'clock and one at 5:30. It'll be David Bonagura, and we'll discuss his book, Jerome's Tears, Letters to Friends in Mourning. And Patrick Flynn, The Best Argument for God. So you want to stick around for that today. And without any further ado, let's go to the phones, and we'll start with Carla. Hello, Carla.
Hi.
How are you, dear?
I'm good. How are you?
All right. What's going on?
I didn't know if I ever got to be on the radio with you. I wanted to talk about your book and how much I love it.
Oh, Father McKay's book. Mine's not out yet.
Yeah. Is this Pat?
No, it's Ken.
Oh, all right. My boyfriend, my fiance, goes to breakfast with you guys. I got to serve Mass with Father Doug at Malvern on our women's retreat.
Oh, okay. Father?
Yeah, hi, Carla. What book were you talking about?
The most recent one our retreat.
Well, I had the history of Calyx, Heaven's Homecoming, or my vocation story. Would have been the Anointing Echoes.
Your vocation story.
My vocation story. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. You know, one of the sisters read the book over here, and she said, "Oh, I didn't know Father McKay was that bad." I said, "Well, she didn't know the half of it because it was edited." But it's amazing what grace could do. You know,
exactly.
The story of grace here in Grace Ferry. Carl, that was a great retreat. I remember I said I'm a ladies' man because Jesus is a ladies' man, and I'm in persona Christi, so I have to be a ladies' man. But that was a great retreat.
It was so funny. It was. I can't wait till the next one.
Okay.
Very good.
All right, nice talking to you.
All right, thanks for the call, Carla. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks Carla, for the encouragement, too. Means a lot. God bless you.
Thank you.
All right. And we're going to go to another caller. Hello, Mike.
Hey, what's up, Ken? Father, how you doing?
Hey, Mike, long time there since we heard you on the radio.
Yeah. I meant to call a couple times but never got around. But I got an auto God.
All right.
I'm gonna give it a name. You never know who's watching. My son called me on my birthday and asked me what I wanted for my birthday, and I said I don't know, whatever. And he said, "How about if I make a donation to our house ministry?" I said, "Michael, that is a wonderful, great gift." So, like, me, that's him watching me, you know, and acting on me, on what I'm doing. And along with that, my grandson, this is the better one. Well, they're both good, but this is a good one. My grandson is attending Delaware Valley University, actually playing football for them. And he had his first practice in football, and afterwards some guys came up to him, said, "Why don't you come over here with us, we're gonna pray." So he called me to tell me that, and when he called me, I said, "Michael," I said John, I really like that. He said, "Pappy, I knew you would." So
we
never know who's watching.
Amen.
Yeah. Michael, you're inspiring your children and grandchildren.
I hope so.
Yeah, it's all grace. It's all grace.
I know there's so many of our children that, and Kenny was talking about it a lot in the beginning of the program, that they just don't go to church. And, I think you mentioned it, Father, that it's all there. all those means are there for us to grow spiritually. And it's almost like not eating, you know. It's almost like, you know, you starve yourself, you know. And so, I don't know, I'm thankful because, you know, like, I try to use every means that I can.
Very good. And you're right, Michael. We never know who's watching. Every once in a while, God lets us know that we're on the right path and
yeah,
lets people get back to us and let us know that we've made an impact on their lives, and that's pretty cool. I know when the donation came in, I got back to Mike, and you know, because he didn't specify anything on the contribution he did online, but his full name was there, and I figured he was related to you. And when I emailed him back, he let me know. So good guy.
Yeah,
I appreciate it.
I was actually talking to one of them today. I mean, he was pretty proud of himself.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Good stuff.
All right, pal. Yeah. We appreciate the call.
I just wanted to check in. All right, guys. Have a great day.
Yep. Bye. You too. You too.
Okay, Michael. God bless you too. Real good.
Right.
Yeah. I was thinking what he was saying about the young, Ken. And yet, a couple of weeks ago, where we had the tent, you know, with the Blessed Carlo Acutis event, you know, and over about 1,000 people came, and to see all the high school kids there and grade school kids and family, you know, it was really inspiring. And that these even Bishop Shanahan, they had the choir there leading the singing for the Mass. And, you know, hearts were touched. And all these young people will go out to their peers and touch the hearts of their peers, and the Spirit will be moving. But it was very encouraging to see so many young people at Mass and attentive at the Mass.
Yeah, and it just reminds me, it's like an honor God thing. And every once in a while I'll do this. I was at Mass at Queen of Peace Church up in Hawley in the Poconos on Sunday. And Sue had gone on Saturday, and I stayed home had stuff in the oven, so I stayed home to watch the oven. And so I went to Mass Sunday morning, and there were two young men. They looked like brothers sitting next to me. And just by their actions, they were prayerful guys, and it was kind of a backup trying to get out the door after Mass, which was okay, and so they were in front of me, and I just tapped the one on the elbow, and I said to him, "Have you ever thought about being a priest?" And he kind of looked at me, and he was like, you know, at first, like, "Who's this guy?" And I said, "Yeah," I said, "we need more priests." And he's like, "Well, I've not thought about it up till now." And then his brother started to smile. And, you know, they go to a small college in Williamsport, and they come home on the weekends. And, you know, it was just God just moved me to say something. And, you know, if we never say anything to our young people, you know, have you thought about being a priest, or have you thought about joining a religious order or something along those lines, chances are they're not going to think about it. But if you put that in their mind, maybe the next time they're praying, or the next time they're at Mass, the Holy Spirit will start to work on them. The worst thing that can happen, hey, did you ever think about being a priest? They may look at you like you're nuts and walk away, but, you know, so what?
I do that all the time, the little ones. I say, "What are you going to be when you grow up?" And before they can answer, I say, "Did you say a priest?" Or, "Did you say a nun?"
Yeah.
I remember in the seminary, he said one of the biggest obstacles to vocations were, they called it momism, either mothers pushing their children in, but we don't have much of that problem today, or mothers keeping their children out. That would probably be even more of a problem, you know. But for parents to encourage their children, you know, we want everyone to be happy, to be fulfilled. But you have to find out what your vocation is in life, what God is calling you to. He has a plan for each and every one of us. And we're all called to love God, but we're called in three different vocations. You know, it could be single, like a Matt Talbot, or married, like you, Ken, or religious. But we have to find out what that really is. And then I'll be fulfilled and I'll be happy, you know, because I'm following God's will And it's in his will that I find my peace and my joy and my fulfillment. So young people, I know the Lord's calling so many young people out there, but it's kind of like a spiritual deafness. They're on their, you know, smartphones or earphones and all these other phones, and they're not really hearing the Spirit. But the Lord is speaking to so many hearts of the young people, because we do need priests. And all of us need to encourage vocation more and more today. But you're right, Ken. I'm glad to hear you did that. That's great. I wish more people would do that. Maybe make our lives a little easier.
Yeah, but absolutely.
Most priests, we're doing like double missions.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Double, and in your case, probably triple now. Missionary of Mercy, rector, and chaplain of Our House Ministries. But, you know, it kind of leads to the Otter God I had this week on Monday. We do have a website for our shrine, matttalbotshrine.org, and on there people will, from time to time, will send in prayer requests, usually loved ones that are struggling with addiction. And we got one on Monday, and I recognized the name, and it's somebody that I probably hadn't seen in 30 or 40 years. And her brother-in-law was really, really good friends with my father. And she's got a son that's struggling. And but when I saw the name, I had a pretty good idea who it was, and ended up emailing her back, you know, let her know that we got the prayer request and would add it to our log in the shrine. But P.S., are you the so-and-so that's married to so-and-so? And sure enough, she was, and she wanted to know more. And having done the family history on both sides of my family, going back, you know, a couple hundred years, I was able to share with her quite a bit of information, and it was pretty cool. So you never know when these folks are going to show up. And, you know, is it God or God that I just happened to be there when she sent the prayer request? So, Father, I don't know if you have one or not, but we're going to get Susie in before we...
Oh, good.
Yeah, she called in last week, and we didn't get to her. Hello, yeah. Susie, how are you?
Hi, Father Doug. Hi, Ken. How are you?
All right, how are you?
Good. Okay, so you were just talking about the being where you're supposed to be, you know, in life.
Yeah.
And I love, like, I always say, our God is not our God, is God. And, oh my gosh, it's so good to hear you guys on the radio. I just love hearing you guys. Christy and I are going to make it down every other Tuesday to the Calyx. But anyways, honor God to being where you're supposed to be. So I never thought I'd work where I work, right? And in the last couple weeks, I've had two God moments. One was whenever somebody calls in for a continuance and it's because they're in treatment, I know that the person... I know that the counselor has you on speakerphone. So I always say, okay, well, just tell them to keep their head up one day at a time and keep, you know, just hang in there and listen for the similarities. And I never think that matters to anybody, right? Well, 2 weeks ago, this girl comes in and she's going to court. She comes up to the window and I go, gosh, she looks so familiar. I go, are you friends with her? And she goes, yeah. I go, that's where I know you from. Afterwards, she gets out of court and she says to me, you're the one who was on the phone. I was broken. I didn't know what I was going to do. And I was sitting in my counselor's office when she called. And the person on the other end of the phone said, one day at a time, sometimes 1 minute, just keep your head up. And I'm like, yeah, that was me. She's like, that made all the difference in the world. That wasn't me. That was God who talked through me. You know
Amen.
What I mean? So, I don't know. You guys get that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And then the second thing is, the guy was coming in and he was getting ready to pay for this citation, which was a lot of money. I said, listen, plead not guilty, get a hearing. You know, they'll work with you. He goes, he puts his head down. And he goes, I'm turning myself in. I'm going away for 8 months. And I go, it's okay. I'll put it out that far. And he says, he's like still looking down. I said, listen, you should be proud of yourself. You don't know what's going to happen. You are either going in there to help somebody, or somebody's going to be in there and they're going to help you. And I come back up and he give him his paperwork and he says to me, oh my God. And heads up and he's smiling. He says, you don't know how much I needed to hear that. Again, not me, God. any of my coworkers could have came to the window and they wouldn't have said that. You know what I mean?
Amen.
And it's because of you, people like you, Father Doug, and Ken, and Patrick, and all you guys that teach me these things. And I have such a faith today that God has put me in this position to be able to live His will, and these things that come out of my mouth are Him. Thank you.
Nah, thank you. Yeah, can you hear the energy, Father?
Oh, yeah. And you know, it's God. It's the Holy Spirit, all that energy. I always say, on schedule, that's planned. It's all a grace. And I just say something, you know, when we try to center ourselves and we're getting the glory, we steal from God, because all glory belongs to God. Anything good belongs to God, and we share it.
Yeah.
And Susie, that's beautiful that you can see God's working right through you and touching so many hearts. It's all a grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. G-R-A-C-E. We can do absolutely nothing without Him. But in Him, we can do all things who strengthens us. And you're doing it. God bless you. Touching hearts.
Oh, thanks.
And we missed you last night, Tuesday. So if you miss
Tuesday, we're going to be there. I know you're not going to be there this Tuesday, but me and Chrissy and Tal are coming down this Tuesday. We're trying to do every other Tuesday to get there.
All right.
Very good.
And I'm going to try and be at St. Francis, so that's right around the corner from my house. I'm going to make a commitment to myself to show up on the 28th.
Very good. We appreciate it, Susie. Thanks for the call.
All right, have a great day. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Safe travel.
Right,
safe travel.
God all bless right. you. Real good, too.
Thanks. Bye.
Third call, Ken.
There you go.
You got Carla and Susie and Michael.
Yeah, I think Patrick's working overtime.
We didn't have Frank yet.
Yeah, Patrick's working overtime.
Bob, Boston Bob.
Yeah, I think Patrick's working overtime getting people to call. and I also need to make a correction. When Carla called in and said that, you know, we have breakfast with her boyfriend, I was thinking it was Ralph and it's Joe. So I got a message from Ralph and Patrick both. They were saying, not Ralph, it's Joe. And I'm like, all right. So thanks again, Carla, for the call. We appreciate it. We'll get Ralph to call one of these weeks.
There you go.
Yeah.
Listening.
Yeah.
Butch used to call from time to time.
Yeah.
Sean made a couple calls. Maybe we can get Michael Norton to call, too. That would be good, right, Ken?
Yeah, it would be.
But a worry for Malvern.
Yeah. So we've got about 10 minutes left, and we got somebody else on the line, Patrick? Uh-oh. It's one of the regulars, Fruitland Bob. Hello, Bob. How are you, pal?
Hello, hello. I'm in Wildwood Crest right now. I'm able to call. I was driving down on the God State Parkway, and I, you know, without killing myself, I couldn't manipulate the radio and the phone properly to try to get a call through. So now that I'm safely in town, I'm parked and I'm calling.
I heard a rumor that the devil's there. That's why Father McKay is going next week.
<That's right. laughs> Oh, well, that's good. That's good. You know, he can take the devil out for a walk and exercise him.
There you go.
He can be an exorcist. You know?
It was like John Bosco said, I'll take my vacation when the devil takes his. Well, I heard the devil's in Wildwood. I'm going after him.
There you go. All right. Very good, very good. It's beautiful down here right now. It's sunny. It's just gorgeous, you know?
Yeah.
So they're a little mad at me for arriving in town because I doubled the population, you know?
Yep. So what's going on?
Not too much, you know? I had to talk to your engineer today, you know?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's got a Philadelphia accent, that guy.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he rides on the Parkway, not the Parkway. He drives a car, not a car. So, anyway.
All right.
All right, pal.
Maybe I'll lose the accent down in Florida, you know?
There you go.
Y'all.
Sooner or later.
All right.
All right. Thanks for checking in.
I was really glad to be there yesterday.
I appreciate it, pal. Thank you.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Very good.
Be good. All right, you too.
All right, Bob. I love you real good.
I love you too, guys. Bye-bye.
See ya.
All right.
All right. 8 minutes. Got an otter god?
I don't know.
All right, let's
They're
go.
They're all otter guys.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about the rosary, and
yeah,
kind of tough to do in 8 minutes, but we'll go because last Saturday
about it already.
Yeah, true. We celebrated the feast of Our Lady of the Rosary last Saturday on October the 7th. It was initially established by Saint Pius the 5th and called the Feast of Our Lady of Victory because of the victory that the Christians had over the Turks at Lepanto. That was attributed to praying the rosary. Pope Gregory the 13th changed it from the to the Feast of the Holy Rosary, and was originally celebrated on the first Sunday in October, and that was in 1573. And then Pope Clement the 11th extended the Feast of the Universal Church in 1716, and in 1913, Saint Pius the 10th set the date for the feast that we know today of October the 7th. And so, obviously, the history has a, or the rosary has a real long history, perhaps given initially to St. Dominic, and then Alain de la Roche was the apostle of the rosary and spread the word of it and founded the first confraternity of the rosary in the 15th century. In the 16th century, the rosary was developed to consist of 15 mysteries that we know of as the Joyful, Sorrowful, and Glorious. And in 2002, Pope John Paul II added the five mysteries of the light to this devotion, or the illuminative mysteries. And Ken Johnston, who will be famous someday perhaps, has added the five prevenient mysteries. And maybe one of these days when they get the block of time, we'll talk about those prevenient mysteries. But the Holy Rosary that we celebrated on last Saturday and every year on October the 7th.
Yeah. You know, even October 13th coming up, right, Ken? That big apparition there in Fatima, 70,000 people would see the sun dance and start to zigzag and fall. But the whole message there, you know, pray the Holy Rosary. The Blessed Mother said, pray the rosary. It's a weapon against evil, as we saw at, you know, the Battle of Lepanto and 1571, but the real miracle there was the battle ended, you know, and the bloodshed stopped because Mother Mary is the mother of all the living, the Muslims and also the Jewish people and also the Christian people, all of us. And we're all God's eternal children. God has no grandchildren, but that was always the message. Pray the Holy Rosary, the most holy rosary. And like you mentioned, John Paul II giving us the luminous mysteries. That really filled in the gap. I mean, we went from the agony in the garden to the resurrection. I mean, we went from the finding in the temple right to the agony in the garden. So there was a big gap there that he filled in, you know. And those mysteries. But the whole center, the fifth luminous, is the institution of the Holy Eucharist. That's the center of the rosary. What's the center of the Hail Mary? The word Jesus. You know, it's all on the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Even Our Lady of Fatima, there the angel comes with the Blessed Sacrament for the three children to receive Holy Communion. So the rosary, it's such a powerful weapon against evil. I remember in school during October and May, we prayed the rosary right after lunch. We go down the aisles, Hail Mary, Hail Mary. I remember counting heads because I didn't want to get mixed up and get the glory be at the right time. But Sister would make us wear the rosary on the side of our pants. And if you forgot your rosary during May and October, you know, I felt like a sissy. You had to go home and get it. I don't feel like a sissy anymore. If I'm wearing my belt pants, I got it hanging over my belt. And I don't want to lose my rosary if I have my sort of my jogging pants on, because I have a special rosary, Ken, as you know. John Paul II. He quoted some of the other popes, you know, in that Pius the VI, that the rosary is a summary of the gospel. It fosters contemplation, and Christ is the center. And John the 23rd, excellent means of prayer, meaning contemplative prayer that he talks about. Leo the 13th, the pope of the rosary. Paul the 6th clearly pointed out, said John Paul II, without contemplation, the rosary is a body without a soul. And we get in trouble where, you know, our Lord said, don't, you know, multiply words and be mechanical, thinking you're going to get a hearing. That the words, it starts out with the words, but then it becomes meditative, but then it becomes contemplative. And Harry Pyle, I hope he's listening, but I had him design a special rosary. One, my private rosary when I pray. I have the traditional rosary. I pray that with the community. But when I'm alone, you know, they always say, pray as you can and not as you can't. And I remember it was a disciple came up to the master and said, can I smoke when I'm praying? Absolutely not. He said, well, can I pray when I'm smoking? Sure you can. Pray as you can, not as you can't. And with the traditional rosary, there's a lot of distractions for me in community. You know, phones are going off, people coughing. Some are racing, some are lagging behind. You know, sometimes when I was with the Little Sisters of the Poor, it sounded like tongues going up because they couldn't hear. Some was on the back of the rosary, others was in the front. But when I'm alone, I start out traditionally, and I come to the first mystery, say the Annunciation, and pray the Our Father. Then I have 50 straight Hail Marys. There's no Glory Be, our Fathers, to break that, because I'm not ready to leave that mystery. You know, I just started to reflect on it. I'm praying the Hail Mary for the verbal part. I'm just starting to reflect on it and meditate on it. And now I'm carried away. And when I'm starting to be carried away, another decade's starting. I'm not ready to leave the Annunciation. So I want to stay there, like, for 50 Hail Marys. And before I know it, it's over. It's over. And then I'll do the visitation on 50 more Hail Marys. And more than often than not, I'm going to complete, like, 250 Hail Marys in one day and not even know it, because I come out of my temporal right into the eternal. That's what the rosary's for. It's to be contemplative, to bring us to God. It's a means to get to God, just like the Blessed Mother. They're great means to God. You know, the
Father, lost you. Father. Lost your mic, Father. For those that are listening, I apologize. I can't. Father's not coming through, and not sure if it's on his end or our end, but nobody I know that has a greater devotion to the rosary than Father does, and all the different ways that it can be used. As he mentioned, the rosary he uses that has 50 Hail Mary beads, so he spends 50 Hail Marys on one particular mystery. But you can also pray a gratitude rosary, Jesus, I trust in you rosary, where you each bead you trust Jesus or surrender something to Jesus and trust him with it. So we're approaching the top of the hour. Like I said, I'm not sure quite sure what happened with Father, if it's something on our end or his end, but we certainly appreciate it. As mentioned, he will be on vacation in the next couple of weeks, so we'll be looking, or I'll be looking to get a substitute to come in and help me talk about the saints. But in the meantime, we thank you for whatever time you spent with us today, these 2 hours. We're just about ready for the 5 o'clock hour. I'm going to be joined by Pat Flynn, and we'll be talking about his book, The Best Argument for God. And then at 5:30, we'll hear from David Bonagura, and we'll discuss his book, Jerome's Tears, Letters to Friends in Mourning. Two pretty good books that you're going to want to hear about. So without any further ado, we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we'll be joined by Pat Flynn talking about the best argument for God. Don't go away. We'll be right back.